If you turn over with me to Colossians, we will be finishing the book of Colossians this morning. And you know, I got to these last couple verses where we're down to Colossians chapter 4, verse 7 through 18. And there's a bunch of names here that I can't even read. And a part of me said, well, maybe I should just skip this whole section and move on. But you know, the first thing I promise myself is I go verse by verse and do the best that I can verse by verse. You know, I promised that I would never skip a verse. So to me, we're going to tackle this and go verse by verse. And then number two, when you look at Scripture and when you look at the Word of God and when you realize that the Word of God is inspired and every single word is in here for a reason, if the Lord God Almighty was willing to put this verse in here, to me, it's worth studying and finding out what that name's for and what's the reason it's there for. So again, we're going to go through Colossians chapter 4, 7 through 18. But first, let's open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we can come. And we just thank you that you inspired so many people to write the Word of God to where we had a chance at eternal life. We just thank you for the grace of God. We just thank you that you outpoured your grace for us, Lord. And we just thank you for that. And we just pray as we open up the Word that we can grow in your grace and knowledge and that we can learn something this morning from these different people and from these people that were willing to work your ministry, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this morning I called it, my title is With a Little Help from His Friends. You know, the Apostle Paul had a lot of different people that he worked with, a lot of different people that helped him out. And we can see here in verse 7, it says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. So the first guy we have here, is his name is Tychicus, which means fortunate. And he's Paul's mailman. He delivers the letters, Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon. He's his mailman. He was one of Paul's trusted messengers. And we can go through other verses. And Tychicus traveled widely with the Apostle Paul. He joined Paul from Ephesus to Jerusalem at the end of the third missionary journey. He joined Paul's team on the final visit to Jerusalem. And then he was also with Paul in his first Roman imprisonment and carried the epistle of Colossians from Rome to the believers in Colossae. He was from the Roman province of Asia. And there's three things that I get here that he tells Tychicus. He says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. So the first question is, can we fit that category? Do we fit any of that? You know, he first calls him a beloved brother. And a brother is a basic relationship among Christians. Tychicus was more than just a brother. He was a beloved brother. He had endured himself to the apostle in prison. And it's one thing to be a brother, but how much more to be a beloved brother? Paul had a tender love for those who had faithfully labored with him in the gospel. The next thing he calls him is a faithful minister. The second depiction of him is a faithful minister. He was not only a brother, he was not only a minister, but he was a faithful minister. He was true to the service of the church at Colossae and to the Apostle Paul. Can each and every one of us here call ourselves to be a faithful minister? That doesn't mean you have to get up here and preach. That doesn't mean you have to get up here and do the job that I'm doing. But are you fulfilling the faithful ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you sharing the gospel? Are you telling others about him? Are you out there shining light for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you a faithful minister? And then lastly, he calls himself a fellow servant in the Lord, which is basically talking about his relationship with Christ. Are we a fellow servant in the Lord? Verse 8, it says, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he may know your state and comfort your heart. Basically, Tychicus' work was basically a follow-up ministry. He was checking on the spiritual progress of the saints so he could encourage them. You know, to me, it'd be like Tommy is the one that started this church 35, 40 years ago. And it'd be like him sending somebody back to check on the progress of the church. Are we growing? Are we doing anything? Are we reaching others? Or are we just being stagnant? And the Apostle Paul had a heart The Apostle Paul's heart was not to stay in one place and grow that as big as he could. He went on missionary journey after missionary journey, and he would start in different homes and start churches. And then he would always want to send somebody back to encourage them, to build them up, to lift them up. And that's what it says here, that he might know your state and comfort your heart. You know, not everybody has the same calling in a church. Not everybody has to get up here and preach. Not everybody has to clean the church. But some of us are here just to comfort each other, to encourage each other, to wrap your arms around somebody and say, I care about you. And again, I hope as Grace Bible Church that we can show that caring spirit, that loving spirit, that when people come in here, they realize that we're not just about numbers, that we're not just about money, that we're not just about what all these other churches are about, but that we are about what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary for their sins, and that we care for them. And I hope that's what we come across as. Again, down to verse 9. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all the things which are done here. Again, Onesimus was also called a faithful and a beloved brother. He was sent alongside Tychicus to deliver the Colossian epistle, and then he was also to report on Paul's state. And as I read through Philemon, and that's why I read that in scripture reading, he was a runaway slave, but Paul calls him a faithful brother. He ran away as a non-Christian and came back as a Christian. That is a moderate description of the man. Paul does not describe him as a great teacher, a flaming evangelist, but simply faithful and beloved. He is faithful, not a thief. Paul says, I led him to Christ. I led him to the Savior, and he is an example of the transforming power of the gospel. That is what Onesimus was. Verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greeteth you, and Mark's sister's son to Barnabas, concerning whom you received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. Aristarchus was from Thessalonica, and he attended Paul on his third missionary expedition. His name occurs 5 times in the New Testament. And this is a man with a sympathetic heart. You know what you need if you're a leader and you're in the Lord's work? You need many people who are just around to feel your burdens with you. Being a pastor and being a leader, and there's a lot of burdens. There's a lot of times that there's struggles that come along. And you need somebody that just has a sympathetic heart. Same thing, you don't have to be in the look, getting all the attention and standing in front of people and leading people and teaching Sunday school and teaching children's church, but you can have a sympathetic heart and just be that person that shows that they care. And I think this is what Aristarchus was. He was one of those people with a sympathetic heart. And a lot of times people say, well, I don't do anything for the church. I'm a small person and I have no, you know. Each and every individual has a calling. Each and every individual has a spot in the ministry of the Lord. Doesn't necessarily mean it has to be at this church. Doesn't necessarily mean, but you have a calling and you have a job. And it may not be, like I said, in front of everybody, but you do have a calling. And let the Lord take that. God has a plan for every person, no matter how small their gifts are. Verse 11, it says, and Jesus, who is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these are only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, who have been a comfort unto me. You know, this is the only occurrence of this person in the New Testament. And Jesus is the Greek name for the Hebrew Joshua. And Jesus was a common name among Jews of this day. You know, it's interesting to note that these circumcision believers were some of the only people remaining faithful in serving with Paul, who are of the circumcision. These are only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God. Aristarchus, Mark, and Justus were all of the circumcision. But they were still willing to follow the Apostle Paul. They were still willing to follow what the Apostle Paul was teaching. You know, and I think it's many times if you're raised in a Christian home, if you're raised in church every day, we take it for granted. We take it for granted. But when you realize what if you come from a rough life or a hard life and you realize what the grace of God is and what he did on the cross of Calvary, you are more willing to stand up for it than being raised in it in all your life. And I look at these three, and that's what they did. They went from the Jewish tradition, following the Jewish laws and following the kingdom program, to coming over to the Apostle Paul and saying, I'm willing to stand up for what the Apostle Paul teaches, for what the Apostle Paul taught, for what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. And these three were willing to stand up for what they believe. Verse 12, it says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, greeteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Again, Epaphras is a servant of Christ. He was a man who belonged to Christ and served him. He was laboring fervently for you in prayers. Again, if you don't feel like you're doing anything for the church, if you don't feel like you haven't found your spot yet, first of all, pray for the church. Be fervent in your prayers. Constantly pray. Not that we'll grow in numbers. I don't care about numbers. I promise you that. I want the church here to reach people, to tell them that they're sinners and that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins and they can have eternal life. As long as I can keep those church doors open, I don't care if there's 20 people here or 200 people here. But pray that we can reach the world. Pray that Grace Bible Church reaches the world. And then also pray for yourself and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do in the church? Or what do you want me to do for the ministry of the Lord? I know we're all busy with our jobs. We all have jobs. We all have everyday life. We all have kids. We have things to do. And so many times it's hard for us to but pray and say, Lord, what do you want me to do for the ministry of the Lord? What is your calling for me? And I promise you, he will tell you. Again, he was fervently for you in prayers. Verse 13, for I bear him witness that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are Laodicea, and them that are Hierapolis. Epaphras had a zeal. He cared. He had a burden. Epaphras was literally on fire for the Lord. And I hope and pray that each and every one of us have that burden. We have that desire. We have that zeal. Not just to understand Scripture. Yes, that's important. But we have a care and we have a zeal for the lost. Because each and every day somebody is dying out there that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And maybe it was our job to share with them. Maybe it was our job to tell them. Maybe we missed the opportunity. Again, I pray that we'll have the zeal that Epaphras had. And then in verse 14, it talks about Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. The name Luke means light. Luke believed the gospel and he shared the gospel. We all need to be like Luke. You know, if somebody told you Luke, you instantly know who it is. You instantly know, you know. But his name only appears three times in scriptures. But because he has a book written after him, that instantly makes us think about him. But we all know why we know him. Again, because of the gospels named after him. Luke stands out as one of Paul's most devoted and faithful companions. And Paul calls Luke as the beloved physician. You know, Luke most likely ministered to Paul's physical infirmities. And then it talks about Demas as well. And again, there's not a whole lot about Demas as I studied the scripture, but in 2 Timothy it said, this is Demas who 2 years later forsook Paul because he loved this present world. And you know, as you go through all these names and as you go through it, you know, I look at it like a sort of like a group picture. You know, all these people were a part of Paul's ministry. All these people had a part of the job. Not all of them were Paul, but they all had a part in the body of Christ. You all have a part. Each and every one of us have a part. And that's what he's showing. To me, he's showing without all of them, Paul would have nothing. Verse 15, it says, greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphis and the church which is in his house. Again, you know, in Scripture, you always see they had a very close fellowship, a very close relationship as believers in Christ. And it makes pretty much sense that they all started in houses. All their churches started in houses. You know, it says in the church which is in his house. But you know, I think houses and having people over to your house, you become closer to them. You know, and it's probably good to have small groups and houses and different things like that to where you can grow closer. The more we can grow closer as a part of the church, as a part of the body of Christ, the more we can lean on one another. When we just show up on Sunday morning and walk out the door, we're not getting anywhere. We're not reaching anyone. We're not holding each other up. We're not holding each other accountable. It's our job to be there for one another. Verse 16, and when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of Laodiceans, and that ye also read the epistle from Laodicea. Paul expects that Colossians will be read publicly in the assembly, both in Colossians and Laodicea. This stipulation for reading the word publicly gives some indication of how the early church practiced worship. Again, the word read here means to exegete Colossians. Basically what we're doing here, verse by verse. Verse by verse. Study the Word of God verse by verse. Again, few churches expound the Bible verse by verse. But if this is the way it came to us, if this is the way we can learn from it without skipping verses, without changing things, without... When we go verse by verse, we get the content, we get the everything that's there, and we don't skip verses. And if you notice I skip a verse, come hit me with something and tell me you skipped a verse. Because I don't want to be that person. Verse 17, it says, and to say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. We need to take heed to our ministry. We don't just come to church for the fun of it. We don't just come to church to have a time of fellowship and meet new people and make new friends. Heaven and hell is at stake here. Heaven and hell is at stake. Take heed to the ministry. We need to be as sharp as we can so that we can honor the privilege of the ministry that's given to us. You know, I don't look at myself as any better than you guys. I'm just a sinner like you. But by the grace of God, He allows me to stand up here and to share what the Word of God says, to share what's on my heart. We all make mistakes. But we all need to be a part of the ministry of the Lord. And then verse 18, he says, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds, grace be with you. Amen. You know, Paul dictated the Colossian letter to someone else and they wrote it down. And majority of his scriptures were written by someone else. And that's why most people think he had a problem with his eyesight. He couldn't write. But here at the end, he says, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Basically, he's putting his signature on it. He is saying, this is what the Lord has inspired me to write. This is the truth. This is what Scripture says. The Word of God is inspired, and I'm going to put my signature on it. The Apostle Paul didn't write anything until he signed his name. And he's taking all the responsibility for it, saying this is the truth. And then he says, remember my bonds. You know, you can think of him saying, remember me. Pray for me. I want to get the Word of God out there. I want to get the grace of God out there. Just remember me as I'm in bonds. That whoever I run into, I can share the gospel of the grace of God. And then grace be with you. Amen. The Apostle Paul always started with grace, And he ended with grace. You can go to any of his books. At the beginning, we talked about this in verse 2, chapter 1. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is what saves you. Grace is what keeps you. Grace is to help us be the Christian we are supposed to be. Grace allows me to be up here. Grace allows you to be a part of the ministry. Just become a part of it. You know, and as we went through there, we saw that Paul had many friends that helped him through the ministry. And again, I look at it here. I have the exact same help. This church would not be open today if I was the only one here, if I was the only one leading it. There's many people that you don't know that do things, that help, that are a part of it, that pray for it. You know, without Ernie and Carol, they practically do everything. You name it, they do it. Without Keisha and Sonny doing children's church, we wouldn't have this church here at all. Without Laura and Kristen leading worship, worship to me is just as important as the sermon. It gets you ready to listen and to hear the word of God and open up your heart. Each and every one of you have a calling. Each and every one of you have a part of this church. And whether it's just praying, whether it's just support, whether it's just encouraging me, whatever it is, I thank each and every one of you. And I think that's what the Apostle Paul was doing here. He's just saying each and everybody, whether it's small or big, whatever you can do, do it. And that's what I got out of him listing all these different names. Tychicus, Onesimus, Aristarchus. All these people had a part of Paul's ministry. And without them, he would have never got as far as he could. And I pray that you'll join me with the ministry of Grace Bible Church so we can reach a world with the truth of the gospel. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. And we just thank you for even times when we don't understand the reason you put certain verses in there, that we can still get something out of it and we can still use it in our life and we can apply it to our lives. We just thank you for the power of the Word of God. We just pray for Grace Bible Church that we will reach a lost and dying world, that it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with who's here. All I care about is that we reach one person with the knowledge of your Son, with the salvation, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name.